Okay, it looks like council are ready. This case is 23-1344, Association of Surgical Assistants versus National Board of Surgical Technology. Mr. Lance, you may proceed.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, if I may. Robert Lance, on behalf of Association of Surgical Assistants. Just as a heads up, I'm going to also refer to them as ASA. As you probably read in our briefs, there's a lot of initials to cover here. This case primarily rises and falls on whether ASA adequately defined the relevant market to survive a motion to dismiss under 12b-6. Your Honors, we believe that we did define the relevant market according to the terms of Twombly, and we request that this matter be remanded back to the district court so that we may actually move forward towards trial.
How many definitions of the relevant market are you relying on?
Simply one.
And can you tell me
which one? ASA's advanced historically only one market definition throughout this case. It's providing, approving, processing, and recording continuing education credits for CSFA and CST holders across the nation. And CSFA, just so you have that definition in front of you, it is a certification known as Certified First Surgical Assistant Certification. And CST is Certified Surgical Technologist, two distinct certifications. And that is all we've ever alleged.
Counsel, which paragraphs of your complaint give that definition of the relevant market?
So with respect, is it declared as such? I don't believe so. We did refer to the certification or recertification process as sort of a global term throughout the first amended complaint. I don't recall what was in the original complaint. I think you said original complaint. But in the first amended complaint, it's referred to as recertification process. Anyway, market definition, as you know, is a deeply fact-intensive inquiry. In fact, Judge Hegarty said as much in his opinion. To be clear, NBS-TSA is the only certifying body for certified surgical technicians, CST, and certified first surgical assistants, CSFA, in the United States. Purportedly, NBS-TSA...
Aren't there other certifying entities?
Well, that's interesting. The judge took under advisement in a motion to dismiss, not under advisement, he took judicial notice of certifications that are similar to but not identical to these two certifications. Why it matters here is our membership, ASA's membership, constitutes primarily those that hold the certified surgical first surgical assistance accreditation. So they are certified first surgical assistants.
And they can go get those certifications as long as they pay for it, can't they?
They can. However, the plaintiff here is ASA, and we cannot get the certifications. Our purpose is to do what I just said, and that's the market definition. Right. We provide and approve, process, and record continuing education credits for CS.
Really, simplifying this case, NBS-TSA is a seller of certifications, right? And ASA wants to be a continuing education supplier to that entity.
We want to be a provider of that ability.
Why does NBS-TSA have to accept?
NBS-TSA?
Yeah. Why do they have to accept ASA as an additional provider?
Well, historically, they were the provider until the two parties split.
Right.
NBS-TSA.
Your client left.
Right. Well, so, they refer to us going to make a better mousetrap. We're trying to serve our constituency better. Our constituency going, again, to certified surgical technicians and certified first surgical assistants. Without those certifications, I'm going to jump forward to damages here, we can't exist because that is our membership. And this membership, by the way, these certifications are specific. These other certifications that the court took judicial notice of, which is surprising on a motion to dismiss, but they didn't go further. What do those certifications mean? The process of these certifications, to be clear to the court and to the practice here, is hospitals have different titles for different things, and they have different certifications for different things. When you see on TV, when the surgeon says, hand me the scalpel, stitch her up at the end of the surgery, that is a certified first surgical assistant, CSFA. There's a second also person there that's a different category and different certification. And then you have down the line, the surgical assistant. What the defendants have done by bringing up those other certifications is basically they've actually, their certification, the MBS-TSA certification, is considered the gold standard in the industry. Those other certifications don't have that same significance. They're also, most of those are not mandated in 10 states as we have here.
Well, counsel, I think you're getting to the point now of some points that relate to the relevant market.
Yes.
So let me ask you this question. If if the cost of a CST or CSFA recertification goes up, why wouldn't surgical technologists and first assistants be more likely to consider the alternative certifications?
Well, the problem is they have that certification and you're in that category. The other certifications, and this kind of goes well beyond the scope of what the court even considered, require different timing, different methodology, and actually there is no other certified first surgical assistant program or title, period. There's just one.
Well, you could recertify by testing instead of taking continuing courses, right?
But what we provide is the recertification.
Can you answer the question first?
Yes, you can. Is that more expensive? Yes. And is anybody else providing it? No.
Okay.
Yes,
so you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying it's more expensive. Judge Matheson said, what if the price goes up on recertification through the classes? At some point, that your consumer looking at it is going to make a decision that I'm going to move over here and do the testing because you've raised the price so much, I'm going to make a different choice. It's called cross-elasticity, right? We're looking at...
No, not really, because AST is the only pathway to get to NBS-TSA, period. It's the only pathway. We don't have a pathway. Nobody else has a pathway to get the NBS-TSA certification.
But at the end of the day, it's about being certified, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if there are other ways to get certified, whether you don't think it's the gold standard or not, can you get certified in any other way other than through the NBSTA?
Not as a certified first surgical assistant, not with that title, not with that designation. It is actually, the National Labor Statistics actually has a position for surgical assistants in subcategories. This is a specific training. It is not an entry-level assistant position. It is a, like I say, it's very critical in the surgical theater, and you cannot get the certification elsewhere.
Well, is this another way of saying that the elasticity is inelastic? In other words, if this is the only way to do it, it's an inelastic, and that helps you define the market.
Yes, and...
But the problem is the complaint doesn't really lay that out. Let me do a slightly different question that gets to this. So, as I understand it, some states require certain certifications, some don't. Why wouldn't the cross-elasticity of demand for continuing education be different in states that require certification from those that don't?
To answer that question, it would go to the people getting the certifications themselves. They would have to continue to get the certified first surgical assistant certification because it continues. It's a continuing education. It's like having a bar license in a state and then just saying, you know what, I'm not going to do it anymore, so I'm going to go get my bar license in California and still practice in Colorado.
Well, okay, let me maybe break it down this way. I understand relevant market, there's the relevant product market, and then there's the relevant geographic market. So why wouldn't it make more sense to say that the relevant geographic market is the provision of recertification services in those states that require CST and CSFA certifications?
I would say yes, but the certification is offered around the country. And the other thing, too, is it is a requirement. Like I say, it's a requirement in many hospitals. For instance, when you get an insurance bill from your hospital, it actually has codes for who was in the operating room when you were in the operating room. This is not indifferent from that. This is a specific category, position, a job, and that's who our membership is.
Is there any market barrier to ASA creating its own certifying entity?
It would take probably a decade. The certification process.
What's the market barrier?
I'm sorry, what's the market barrier? So there is primarily, there's a few, like what I would call hierarchical certification organizations out there. In fact, NBSTSA, I can't remember the name, I think it's NAAP, but there's another certifying authority above them. To get to the certification, you would have to either go to them or to another. There are requirements and criteria for this. And to go back to kind of what, I guess my question, when your question originally was, why can't we just go somewhere else?
Right.
We have always
Or create your own mousetrap, as they say.
But we didn't. That was not our purpose. Our purpose was to work with a constituency that was our membership.
Yeah, we're looking at a market definition, a product definition.
Yes.
And I think that the papers did suggest that NBS asked for a business plan.
NBSTSA, yes.
And it was never provided in any kind of detail. What do we make of that?
What's missing, and again, this goes to why we shouldn't have been denied or dismissed. There's more to that. There are three letters that we showed to exemplify the issue. And the issue was, there was indeed a letter, I believe it was in October of, now my years are losing me, but 2021, and then there was another one in February.
And we do have to find that you plausibly alleged a conspiracy or agreement, right?
That underlies
everything.
Yeah,
right?
And that's a surface level. However, there were conversations, there were other things that are essentially there, but those don't go in on a motion to dismiss.
Yeah, what would you point to as the best evidence of an agreement?
What is the best evidence of the agreement between MBS, TSA, and AST? Mm-hmm. They have agreements. You have to go through AST to go to MBSTSA, period.
What are you pointing to in the complaint? Where are the allegations of the complaint that support?
I believe it's throughout the complaint. Now, did we attach anything to the complaint? No, it's a complaint. It's a notice complaint.
Well, I understand that it's a notice complaint, but the way that you've pled your claims that both your Section 1 and your Section 2 claims require conspiracy. You agree with that, right?
I'm very aware.
Okay. And I've gone through pretty carefully all the allegations in the complaint, and you're pointing to documents that there's not both parties to it. So there's no agreement or conspiracy evident, even if you take the allegations of the complaint as true, which is what we do on a motion to dismiss, right?
Well, here's the other additional feature.
Okay.
The parties know each other. They've been in business together. There was an agreement, and there is an agreement between AST and NBSTSA. I don't think counsel will deny that. They work together. This is not a surprise to them.
An agreement to do what?
To be the sole accreditor or the sole entity to send accreditation to NBSTSA.
And can you point me to the allegations in the complaint that encompass this agreement that's not?
I don't know that I can. But like I say, the parties know each other. Part of the reason there's much, I see I'm out of time, but.
I'll give you more time.
Yeah, part of the reason.
It's a conspiracy to exclude competition.
Yeah.
And that's the agreement we're looking for, not the, the agreement between the AST and NBS.
Yeah.
That's to provide services. I mean, I think what Judge McHugh is saying, where's the allegation that there's a conspiracy to exclude your client?
Those letters demonstrate it. There's no reason they needed a business plan. There's no reason they needed the items for a certification. If I go to ask for a certification before the state board, they want to know, is there merit to what you're teaching and will it comply with our guidelines? They wanted to go into business with us. And that's the only way they're going to work. AST is the sole way to get the certification, period.
And before you sit down, what's the best case for your to support your product definition theory?
That we'd be able to get certification.
Yeah. I'm sorry, the best Tenth Circuit case.
What's the best Tenth Circuit case?
Yeah, for your...
In terms of supporting our decision?
Yeah, product definition.
I've read your opinions on it, and those aren't good cases for me. to answer your question honestly,
I'm throwing you a lifeline. The best case that I'm not on.
I think that it goes back to Twombly, and Twombly. I think we have presented a plausible. We don't have to create a probable case. We created a plausible case. And I think that we have sufficient merits with our complaint as it is. And I understand, I've read your decision. I've actually read a couple of yours and others, and they are not favorable.
Okay. All right, counsel, thank you. Mr. McKay, when you're ready.
Good morning. John Mackey, on behalf of the appellees, I represent AST. My co-counsel, Jessica Nelson, is at table with me. She represents NBSTSA, which I'll refer to as NB, if it's okay. Your Honors, this case presents a familiar fact pattern that we see in antitrust and competitive businesses, where one entity wishes it had different technology or a different business relationship, and it doesn't. And when it doesn't, it struggles. And when it struggles,
can you pull
it calls.
Mic up a little closer to you?
Sure, thank you. And when it struggles, it calls that struggle harm. But the Sherman Act calls that competition. And the Sherman Act calls that struggle exactly what antitrust laws are intended to promote. Because out of that struggle come better products, come innovation, come price competition, come all of the things that antitrust law wants. And that's the beginning and the end of this case, and it's because of this setting that the plaintiff immediately runs into pleading problems. I think
if in fact AST and MB had gotten together and said we want to preclude anyone else from entering this certification market, and therefore we are entering into this agreement not to let ASA in. That would be an antitrust claim, right?
Not necessarily.
Well, okay, it would at least be the beginning of an antitrust claim.
It might be the beginning of a vertical refusal to deal case, which we see in some of the cases like the Visa case, SCFC, right? And where the standard is, was there a valid business justification? And it doesn't have to be objective, and it doesn't have to be reasonable. It just has to have merit to the business making the decision that it's in their best interests, right? Listen to what it is said In the opening brief to the district court about what ASA wants, because it goes to this point, I believe. To be clear, ASA is not demanding that NB be forced to credential ASA with the capacity to approve, process, and record continuing education credits required for CSFA and CST. Then they go on and explain. Instead, ASA is demanding that NB provide criteria that must satisfy such a credential. Well, that's not the standard for this refusal to deal case. They want to treat this as if there's a right to compete and that an entity like NB must give criteria and credentialing, like you're applying for a driver's license or a teacher's application. But the case law that Your Honor refers to is different. It is, what is the purpose of this collaboration and this joint venture? Are there benefits to the market? Are there valid reasons why NB might not want to partner with a second entity? And that goes right back to the October 22nd letter where NB writes back and says, okay, look, there are a couple of options here. Now go price compete and negotiate something for your members with AST. If you don't want to do that, provide us this information because we have concerns about how new you are, what your capacity is, what you propose to do. Is it going to benefit us? Big question. Is ASA going to pay anything for the right to take advantage of this established technology, the systems, the business, the proprietary information? And ASA, interestingly, answers that question, no. The relief it wants is to be able to participate, to have the court tell it it can participate free of charge, no additional cost. Now, I appreciate your question, Judge, because it does kind of show the dividing line between where we are and where conceptually some of these cases have gone or might go. But we're not here.
Let's switch to the product market for
yes,
a minute.
Yes, please.
As I understood Mr. Lance's argument, apparently there is not a way to get certified as a first surgical assistant other than through ASI MBSTA. Is that correct?
Yes. Currently, NB issues the certification. It's authorized to set the standards. It does it based on a national standard. It gets audited, and as part of its duties in issuing the CSFA certificate, it also has the authority to recertify. And it has, in its relationship with AST, set up a system where AST does that work.
Can they get recertified through testing?
Yes.
Okay. So even the first surgical assistants have a choice between testing or classes?
Yes. They also have a choice to, when you say retest, they also have a choice to take a second test. Or in 40 states, no test. So, I think there is one point I'd like to make, and it's a little off your question, so I want to answer your question, but I'd like to, if it's okay, I'd like to point one thing out. You asked counsel directly today, look, we've read the complaint, it's a little confusing. It is. What is your relevant market? And he answered, providing, approving, processing, and recording. It's an acronym that I've used to try and keep it straight, P-A-P-R, paper. And he says, that's our definition, and on page 13 of their brief, they say, we've used one definition throughout this case. That's demonstrably not true. The definition that they define is recertification services, in quotes and capitals, right? And they do that on page 5 of their brief, page 6 of their brief, page 11 of their brief, page 4 of their brief, and they define that product to be, to not include providing CE. It is APR, approving, processing, and recording. That's not just a semantic difference. The market for providing educational classes, continuing education, is potentially enormous, and it's not limited in any conceivable fashion to these specific certifications. Hospitals provide continuing education. And that's a main one. Associations can provide continuing education. There's no limit to what ASA could put together to provide.
Are there meaningful competitors to NB, though?
Yes.
What are those?
There are the two that we've identified in that chart with the states. One is, and I hope I get this right, I believe it's NSSA, but it's the CSA certification. And the other one is the SA-C.
Are they comparable products?
Well, you're asking me if I think my client has the gold standard, and I think they do, and they've had it for a long time. But in terms of is CSA a good product? Yes, absolutely. And ASA knows this, and on their own website they advertise that we're an association for all assistants, all of these certifications. We want to bring it all together. And in addition, they promote their relationship with this entity that provides the CSA certification. So if my client is the gold standard, the Sherman Act hopes that somebody will come along and create the platinum standard. And that's where this case is troubling, because we land, I think, no matter how much we talk about product market, and believe me, I agree that you can affirm the district court just on the face of the complaint, because it doesn't get there. You can affirm the district court based on sort of this revised definition of paper or recertification services, because there are these alternatives out there, and the cross-elasticity is just never discussed in the complaint. And when we do discuss it, it doesn't make sense. So that's the second ground. But as quickly as that happens, you find yourself with one foot in the antitrust injury arena, where this just doesn't fit antitrust law. In the first place, there's
not... Well, can we stay with relevant market?
I'd be happy to.
Yeah. So if we go back to basics, 12b-6, motion to dismiss,
yeah.
We look at the first amended complaint, does it plausibly state a claim? If we read the allegations generously to the plaintiff, inferences in favor of, so forth and so on, what is your understanding of what the first amended complaint attempts to allege as the product market?
In terms of the product market, I think it attempts to allege what they say in their brief, and I counted them last night, 20 to 25 times. They say the product market is what we want to do. It's this narrow segment. Whatever it is we want to do in terms of services, that's the product market. And because that's the product market, they say, we're not going to look at anything else. But that's not the standard. The case law, if you can juxtapose what they say, right? It's this narrow product market because we want it to be so. Juxtapose that with what the Tenth Circuit says. And let me give you a couple of examples.
Well, you say it's what they say they want to do. Can you answer Judge Matheson's question more specifically of the product market before we look at Judge Timkovich's case?
Thank you. I didn't mean to gloss over it. I think it is they say one of two things. Either they want to approve, process, and record, which they define as recertification services. And they say that in their briefing, and they use some of those words in their complaint in some places. Or, you know, if we're trying to move past the pleadings and figure it out, maybe it's what they told you today. Provide, approve, process, and record. But again, the case law says, why do you want that product market? And the case law says you need a total economic market. You need a real market. You don't get to just define the market by what you want to do, right? It has to be an economic reality. And so you get the Buccaneer case, which says that, quote, you can't simply show that it adversely affects its business. That's not the definition. Antitrust law is not as simple as saying, this is what we want to do, so that's the problem.
Can I ask one question about the cases?
Sure.
In Green Country Food Market, there's a discussion of an underlying Supreme Court case, Eastman Kodak.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And in Eastman, Kodak had a copier and they tried to exclude other service providers, to fix the machine,
right,
supply the paper. And the court found that that was sufficient to allege a product market. Why isn't that fact pattern comparable to what ASA is trying to do here?
Well, in the first instance, it's not comparable because it was clear that, Eastman had a well-defined market. They looked at potential alternative products. They looked at cross elasticity. They did that analysis. That's not been done here. I understand your question, though. In concept, the question, as I understand it, is it possible to have one big entity that has one big product and it has one group of service providers? And I think the law has evolved quite a bit from there, where to get to the point where the question that gets asked is, but why? How does it aid competition? How does it aid competition for this court to tell NB, all right, if you have a joint collaboration with AST and they provide the services, then once you do that, all bets are off. You've got to do it for ASA. Who else do we have to do it for, right? And it just goes down the line, and that really can't be the law.
Well, it is the Supreme Court.
Well, I heard myself. I didn't mean to say that Eastman isn't the law, but it's very constricted in the circumstances when that would apply.
How could, in your view, ASA have overcome a motion to dismiss by including allegations about cross elasticity? How would you plead that?
How would I plead it if I were ASA?
How could ASA survive your challenge through allegations involving cross-elasticity? What would those look like?
I think it's the analysis is two steps, and I think they clearly fail in the first step, which is you have to do the analysis, and that's not in the complaint. Your question is, well, what if they did? What would it look like? And that's the second step. It has to be reasonable. It has to be a total market, like in the Auroria case or some of these other cases we cite, Buccaneer, Campfield, and so forth. What would it look like in this case? I don't know that you can, because there is so much alternative avenues out there. It would be very difficult to explain away.
Well, aren't you saying they'd have to have the alternative avenues for mm-hmm. their economic model, step one, and then step two, have some kind of allegations based on fact that there is some product substitution, cross-elasticity of demand. Is that what they need?
That's what they would need, and in these cases, often and usually, there's an economist that gets retained up front, and so clearly that didn't happen here, and we just don't have the answer as to whether there's actually a way to plead through what on the surface appears to be a problem with their product market. I see that my time is up.
You didn't say anything about geographic market. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, I think your question was spot on. You just have to look at, we don't have any explanation in the complaint as to why the states that require certifications or and so forth are any different than the ones that don't. You can conceptualize economists saying different things, but we just don't have that discussion here, and it's hard to talk about geographic scope in a vacuum when you don't even have the relevant product market to start with.
The states that require certification, do they require specific certification? Does it have to be your certification?
No. If you look at the appendix at page 105, we've put that chart together. And there are 8 states, and they're all just a little bit different. And in every single one of those states, the CSFA and the CSA are both accepted. And I think that's
what... Not to be confused with the CST.
Right, not to be confused with the CST, which is the technology. I'm just talking about the surgical assistance. And I think that fact of alternative avenues is really the linchpin to the district court's decision, because at every turn, once you have that, their case fails on the pleadings, and it really just doesn't even get past the antitrust injury part either. I'd be happy to answer a question on conspiracy if you have one for me.
I think we're good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Time's expired. Counsel's excused. Thank you for your fine arguments. And the case shall be submitted. The court will take a recess until 10:55.